Welcome to the Holiness Today podcast. On this episode, listen to a conversation I have with the District Superintendent of Central Peru, David Balcaza Medina. I had the pleasure of meeting David at the Global Theology Conference in Pilar, Argentina. In this conversation, he shares his call to faith, his ministry in Peru, and of his journey to America for the General Assembly in Indianapolis, Indiana. Tell us about how God called you to faith and how God called you into ministry.
Thank you very much. Well, I knew Jesus Christ through my family, no? Through my father, because my grandfather, he was an alcoholic person. He liked to drink beer. He was a drunk person, but my uncle, my oldest uncle, he knew Jesus Christ through a New Testament. Somebody gave to him, no? I was told that he read the New Testament, and then he knew the Church of the Nazarene many years ago in Chiclayo, Peru, and he began to go to the Church of the Nazarene, and then he preached to his family, no? One of the members of his family was my father, and my father knew Jesus Christ when he was a boy. He couldn't go to a school with the help of his father, but knew Jesus Christ. He worked and went to school, and then my father went to the seminary. My father is a pastor, so I was born in a Christian family with a different history, with a good family. My father, my mother, thanks to God, thanks to the Bible, thanks to the Church of the Nazarene. Then when I was 15 years old, I took my personal and complete decision to follow Jesus Christ. No? I think he saved me, he cleaned me from my sins, he forgave me my sins, and I am serving the Lord since I was 15 years old. But more or less, like when I was 14 years old, I think, so a little before my conversion, I began to feel that like God could want to me to serve him as a pastor. No, first I didn't want. I was like frightened, but after I decided to, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I decided to serve the Lord. But I was like doubting. I was not sure about that God was calling me to be a pastor. I wasn't sure, but in a campament, a meeting, there was a brother called Bruno Radi. I don't know if you have listened to him.
Yes, yes.
And he was preaching. He spoke about God's calling. So I was 16 years old, I think, in that moment. And I wasn't sure about God's calling. But when I was, when there was, after the preaching, there was a time of praying. And my friends, girlfriend, or another friends, they were going to pray. I was doubting in my position, not if God was calling me, but Bruno Radi said something. He said, if you are doubting, it's because God is calling you. And that word was like an arrow which went to my head, and I accepted that God was calling me. Well, I feel that very, very strong, so I went to pray. And I remember there was a missionary, American missionary, I think, who was asking the people what is God calling them to. No? For example, if God was calling them to be a pastor, or if God was calling them to be a missionary.
Yes.
Like that. So you have to say, no?
Yeah.
What is God calling you to, no? You have to say, no, to be a pastor or to be a missionary. I was 16 years old. I was a teenager, and I was crying in that moment. And I remember that the missionary came and asked me, what is God calling you to? No? To be a pastor or to be a missionary? I answered very naturally, I don't know what for, but what I know is that God's calling me.
Yes.
And after that, I began to study in the seminary. No?
When you first started preaching, what did that look like for you?
Preaching is very important for me, for us. The first time I preached was when I was 19 years old.
Uh-huh.
No, it was because when I was studying at the seminary, my father was a pastor, as I told, and he was invited to a conference like that in a church. So he had to preach many times, and in one of these times he told me that I was going to preach one of these. And I haven't been invited, but I was with my father, so.
Yeah.
It was my first time. I was very nervous.
Yeah.
But I prepared I don't remember the name in English for it. It's bosquejo.
Yeah. Your sermon notes and whatnot. Yeah.
So I preach about this. I remember I was very nervous, but I referred to my notes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. But after that, at the age of 19 years old, I began to go with my father to a church he was pastoring. So he led me to preach many times. Yeah, now in our church, no? In the church, yeah, I was, yeah, helping him. It was in the countryside, the church. Yeah. No, it was not in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I began to preach there. I remember that always I preach what the Bible says.
Yeah. No?
But at the beginning, very nervous. Yeah. I remember that when my father preached, people went to the altar to pray, because in Peru, I don't know, in our state, it's very common that you call the people to, yeah, the altar to pray, no? After a sermon. So when my father preached, many people went. When I preach, no, not too much. I remember that. Sometimes my father traveled and I was preaching alone. No, like people, like
they didn't respond.
No, like they didn't respond. They looked at me, you know, because in Peru, in the countryside, the people who are older, usually like they think that people young people, excuse me, like they have not too much to teach them because they are older than
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I continue preaching and. And I think that I think that always I have tried to preach what the Bible says.
Yes.
I feel comfortable with this. I don't say that before I preach on other things. No. I always try to preach what I understood the Bible says, no? But that I had gotten more confident that I think because of that years, no?
Right.
I have now my own style to preach, and I like to preach.
Yeah.
A lot.
So what's your favorite book of the Bible to preach from or to study?
Perhaps one of the books I have preached more is perhaps Acts.
Yeah.
Because I have a sermon, I have preached a lot about the Holy Spirit, the life of holiness.
Yeah.
And so I have preached about Acts chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 19.
Yes.
I think those are chapters very interesting about how the people were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, like how Luke explained that, how did it happen. You know? So I like that. Also, another book I like to talk about is Romans chapter 8, about the life in the Spirit. No,
yeah.
And also Galatians, chapter 5, chapter 4.
Yeah.
I like those chapters a lot.
For those who are kind of skeptical of relying on the Word of God or like to go to other things first, what would you say to them?
Well, I think that I would tell them that through the study of the Bible, your life can be changed. I will say that. Well, I will say that because of my family was changed through the Bible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, my grandfather was an alcoholic person. My family was a family without responsibility. My grandfather had not responsibility with his children.
Mm-hmm.
But after the study of the Bible, well, and knowing Jesus Christ, but I think it's not enough only to read and memorize the Bible. No,
yeah.
It's necessary to know Jesus as a Savior, right. Personal Savior. Right. Because we can be like the, I don't remember in English, Pharisees?
Yeah.
The people who study the Bible a lot or the law a lot in the time of,
yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah.
they knew a lot about the law of that.
Yeah.
But they were hypocrites.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Hypocrites. Yeah. Right? For sure.
So
yeah.
You can have a lot of information in your mind, but if you don't apply in your life, but when you study the Bible, when you read the Bible, and when you know Jesus Christ, you can have it for sure that your life is going to change.
Yeah. It's a living word.
It's a living word. So I will encourage you to, for that person to experience this, to give his life to Jesus.
So how long did you serve in the local church before you were elected to be a district superintendent? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was in three different churches before being superintendent. In the first church, I was 2 years, like co-pastors, helping another pastor, who was my father, the first pastor.
Okay, yeah.
In the second church, I was 3 years. It was with another pastor. It was in Lima, because the first church was in the north of Peru.
Okay.
The second was in Lima. I went there because the seminary sent me to that church. And I was there 3 years. And after that, I went to a very small church that was going to be closed. Like, they sent me to help them.
Yeah.
I was in that church 12 years. And after those 12 years, I was called to be this.
Tell us about the makeup of Peru in the different languages.
Yeah, because my country first was only one district, no? Many years ago, because the first missionary called Roger Williams, he got Peru in 1914. Mm-hmm. But now we are 16 districts with more or less 1,000 churches. No? So we have 3 districts where the majority of the people are Awarunas, or Awajun. Some they call them Awarunas, another call them Awajun. Awajun. So these are 3 districts of the 16. No? There we have 13 districts with Spanish people talking. Okay. No? So my district is Spanish only.
Spanish.
Because I'm the capital of Peru.
Yeah.
But these Awarun districts are in the north of Peru. So we have 3 districts there. Sometimes all the sub-DS of these districts are Awarun too, Awajun too. Mm-hmm. But in this moment, only one is Awajun. The another 2 DS of those districts are people who speak Spanish, no?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have not only Awajun people, but also, we call mestizos.
Okay, yeah.
Mestizos people who are... speak Spanish, but have different cultures like me, no? For example, and send Spanish people, indigenous people, no?
Yeah.
So we have these three districts there, no? And we have like 200 churches between them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the jungle of Peru.
So do you speak that language as well?
Awajun?
Yeah.
No. I have learned some... Yeah. Some phrases only, yeah. No, because I have visited them. But no, my family doesn't have a connection with them in the flesh, in the blood.
Yeah, your ancestry.
No, it's another culture. It's like that's like a tribe. They are like a tribe.
Yeah.
But I have learned some words, for example, God bless you.
Yeah.
In Spanish is Dios te bendiga.
Uh-huh.
And Awajun is Apahuyum Pacti. Apahuyum Pacti. For example, let's go to eat.
Uh-huh.
In Spanish is Vamos a comer.
Uh-huh.
In Awajun it is Wimiyoami.
Wimiyoami.
So I've learned some phrases because I have visited them.
Yeah.
I was national coordinator of NYI.
Uh-huh.
In Peru, so I have to. I want to
those districts and
to those districts to give training for them.
Yeah. After becoming a district superintendent, you went as a delegate to General Assembly. That was your first General Assembly as a general delegate. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us your experience there, and you were talking to me about that a little bit too. But tell us what you thought of the assembly and how you enjoyed it.
For me, it was very interesting because I could see that the delegates of different parts of the world, the Church of the Nazarene, and talking about our issues, no, our things about the manual, know what we have to change. It was the first time for me to see how it goes. No, I didn't know that first the resolutions were discussed in small groups. No, committees,
subcommittees and committees. Yeah.
I didn't know. I was asked, no, what committee are you going to be? But I didn't know why.
Right.
Or what for? No.
Right.
When I got in the United States, I realized, you know, that there I thought that perhaps I had to be in another committee, but I was registered in the committee that I put my name, but I didn't know.
What committee were you in?
I was administration.
Administration, okay.
Like, but then I wanted to be in Christian Action.
Yeah, the Christian Action is pretty exciting as far as
when I understood what was for.
Right,
I went to be in Christian Action, but it was too late. No?
Yeah.
I had to be in administration. Well, it's okay. I participated.
Yeah.
But then in the large meeting, it was very interesting. I participated actively. I spoke.
So what you noticed at assembly was that the church was dialoguing or debating or having a discussion.
Yeah.
And you saw that as a good thing.
Yeah.
You enjoyed that. So.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we were saying. Well, first, as a pastor, as a Christian, I think it's a very good thing, no? That the church can debate, we can dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very good because... we listen to other people and what they think, you know, about some items or topics that are very interesting. Sometimes we don't understand very well because we haven't listened to others.
Yeah.
What they have to say, you know?
Yeah.
But based in the Bible. But also for me as a person, it's like too much fun. No? Because people say something, or person say another thing. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like to participate. Some people also like encourage me. Another person calls me, tell me like, don't speak. What are you saying? And so, for me, that all that's.
Yeah.
Fun, huh?
Yeah, you enjoy it. So
I enjoy that.
Yeah, we're kind of experiencing that here. I mean, I think when we get the church together, because I would almost say this is like a mini General Assembly that we're having here, you see so many different perspectives on the same issue. And it doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means they're coming from a completely different context.
Yeah.
So when you were at General Assembly, you were able to see all these different, I guess you could say, opinions on certain theological matters.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I think that when we discuss about the Articles of Faith in the General Assembly, I think that we have little time to discuss. People have their fears, no,
Yeah.
So perhaps we need to be more explained about what it means. No, not only 20 meetings of people according to now, but perhaps the committee who worked this and this to explain we are changing this for this and this and this, no?
Yes.
But all the people who saw we can all understand what is happening, why are these changes, are they are good or not, and then perhaps to vote in a better way, I think.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Well, and the other thing, too, I noticed at General Assembly is it had been about 6 years, I think, because of COVID that we met, and so there was just... It's always good to get back together, but it takes time when you get back together, acclimating to discussions and dialogue. So I think at General Assembly, there was some of that excitement of being together, but not being together for a period of time, not having those discussions, like you're saying, are so important. So the more and more we can get together and discuss theology and our articles of faith, I think the easier it would be as we go through these processes.
Yeah, I think, for example, in this meeting, really, really, like I was saying yesterday, when I came in my flight, no, and my trip to Argentina, I was thinking that perhaps it was going to be like people in the front speaking, and I in my chair listening. I was going to sleep. Like that.
All right.
Yeah, because I have been in another conference like that. It's like that, no?
Yeah.
Only the person in the front talking, or speaking. we only listen, you know. But I like this conference until now because I have seen something different, no?
Yeah.
Because there are people who spoke, no? We have the papers with some anticipation, but they are talking about their papers and then we can ask questions. And I like a lot the small groups where we could discuss, and I like a lot the person who guide us because he told us, express yourself without fear.
Yes.
So you have to say something, say it.
Yes.
No, we all are here are equal in importance to talk, to speak. Yeah. So I like a lot this because and the people could express, no?
Yeah.
I couldn't express too much because I was translating.
Yeah, okay.
But I like a lot that
I
listen. For example, there's a girl who is from Serbia, I think. And she spoke something very interesting for me, no? In a perspective I haven't seen it, no?
Uh-huh.
About how the Holy Spirit works in the world, no?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. It's to listen.
And then those small groups generate the questions.
Yeah.
That the presenters talk about in the next session.
And they answer.
Yeah.
Also, we have the opportunity to ask again. No?
Yeah.
So I understand that not all can participate because of the time, but it's more participating.
Breaking out. Yeah, I when I heard about that, I think it was Stan Rhodes that really came up with that idea. I thought that was a brilliant solution to deal with, because you're dealing with such and some people aren't comfortable getting up and asking their questions in front of the big crowd.
Yeah, it sounds,
but if they're in a small group and it's a more intimate setting, they can get that question out. So I've enjoyed how the structure of this conference has been great.
Yeah, and you feel that you are being listened.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
You feel, no, my voice also was listened.
Being heard, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I have the privilege to be the president of the National Board of Theological Education in my country.
Uh-huh.
So I was talking yesterday a little in a group we had in the regional meeting with our rector of the seminary.
Uh-huh.
We are thinking do a conference like this in our country.
Yeah.
So with our people to talk about art and theology.
That's great. And I was talking to some of the participants here from Africa, and they were saying the same thing. So, I mean, I think this Global Theology Conference is inspiring other regional areas to kind of set up these kind of dialogues.
Yes.
It's very good. So I'm going to transition a little bit, but when you came for General Assembly, you also kind of took a mini tour of America. I with your layover flights and
but that's a secret.
No
problem.
I think it's a great life hack. So just give us your itinerary, because I thought it was brilliant how you were able to come and see America, but you flew into Chicago. So start us there.
Yeah, well, no, it's very interesting. I learned to speak English in my country, in Peru, because I have lived in the United States. Yep. I studied. The reason for what I studied English is very, I think, very, very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But God has used that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the reason? Can you share?
Yeah.
Was it a girl?
Yeah. How do you know?
I could see it on your face. I could see it on your face.
So, but I learned, no? So then I wanted to know the United States. It's not the first time I went to the United States, but in this time, my older, like I told you, my oldest brother,
mm-hmm.
he learned how to fly to different parts with an app.
Yeah.
And this app offers you tickets with, for example, two scales, no?
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, a lot of hours.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Usually people don't want that, because who wants to be in an airport waiting 10 hours or 20 hours, no?
Right.
But we have learned that we can get out of the airport and we have the opportunity to know the country where we are or the place where we are. So when I traveled to this General Assembly in Indianapolis, for example, one of my colleagues, pastors who traveled, he bought a ticket directly.
Mm-hmm.
From Lima to Indianapolis, no? It was a little expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought another idea. I understood that Chicago is more commercial, it's cheaper to go. So I bought my ticket from Lima to Chicago. And But I put one scale in the way,
mm-hmm.
no, that give me like 14 hours in Houston.
In Houston.
So yeah. I went from Lima to Houston. I have to wait like 14 hours and then to travel to Chicago. So what I did was going to Houston, and in Houston, I went out of the airport, mm-hmm. and I paid $3, I remember,
yeah.
for a ticket for bus.
Uh-huh.
I could go in all the buses I wanted only for $3.
That's amazing.
So I went many parts of Houston. No?
You saw Houston.
Yeah, see, I went to the beach. I remember like that, like a beach. In Houston and Chicago, I don't remember. But I went to many places in Houston to know. But I get a little tired because I had to walk a lot, and my shoulder also, because I had my back.
Oh, no? Yeah.
So yeah. Well, that was not difficult, but it was fun. I had too much fun. I enjoyed that. No, then I go to Chicago, and in Chicago I took the bus,
mm-hmm.
Greyhound bus to mm-hmm. from Chicago to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I bought my ticket through internet, no? But my regional coordinator who helped me to who was coordinating the our hosting in Indianapolis, no, arrivals, leaving, no.
Mm-hmm.
And she was from American, and you Americans are people, very organized people, no.
Yeah.
She wanted to know what I'm going to be, what's my flight, the number of my yeah. flight, all the things, no?
Yeah.
She said, well, I didn't know how.
She didn't like that you had this open-ended structure kind of thing, huh?
See, I didn't want to say her because I knew what she was going to tell me, no?
Right.
Yeah, I say, if I told them or told her, she's going to say to me, don't do that. It is dangerous. You're going to get lost. But like yeah. I said, I'm an adult person. I have 41 years, so last year I had 4 years. I traveled a lot in my country.
Mm-hmm.
My country more dangerous, I think. So when I told her that I was to go for bus, I'm not going to get in fly. I'm going to get in bus in Indianapolis. She was like, oh, it's dangerous. Be careful, we don't use bus. No, don't worry, I went in my bus.
Yeah.
Very nice. I traveled in the bus from Chicago to Indianapolis. Then I traveled, when I returned, I traveled from Indianapolis to Kansas City
uh-huh.
by bus to Greyhound.
Also.
Uh-huh. So I went, I think like $70 more or less.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Kansas. I'm very thankful to brother Jose Pacheco,
mm-hmm.
who received me. Who showed me the Nathan Angelical Seminary, the headquarters of the Church of Nazarene.
Yeah.
I went there. I have also
College Church, I think.
Good histories yeah. there. Are. Yeah. I knew the College Church, Nazarene Church, no? College
yeah.
Church. Very big. I was very impressed and all that. And then I went, I had bought my ticket from Kansas to Lima.
Mm-hmm.
With two scales,
mm-hmm.
one scale in Orlando, another scale in New York,
mm-hmm.
but all the trip like 50 hours, more,
yeah.
a little less. So I traveled from Kansas City to Orlando. So in Orlando, I was like 22 hours, but I wasn't in the airport, no?
Yeah.
I got out, and Jose Pacheco, the brother Jose Pacheco, encouraged me to rent a car. I have never rented a car. Never.
That was your first time renting a car?
My first time renting a car.
There is a lot of rental car places in Orlando.
Yeah.
All over the place.
It was very easy.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
No, so I got the car. It cost me like $65, I think. But all
yeah.
the renting, the tolls, and I forgot the name.
The insurance. Yeah.
All.
Yeah.
$65. They gave me a beautiful car.
That's great, yeah. You're able to see Orlando. So
in this time, yeah, I was very, I enjoyed too much because I didn't have to walk. I put all my bags in the
uh-huh.
in the car, and I began to go to many places.
You didn't have to carry all of your luggage around.
Yeah, I bought some things, I think. And when I slept in Walmart.
Yeah.
Walmart park for cars.
Yep.
Yeah. I asked some person, and I also read in internet I could that.
Yeah.
So I put the car in this parking place.
Yeah, there.
And I slept there, and I slept very well because the car was very comfortable, the seat, and I saved the money for the hotel.
Yeah.
So the hotel is going to to cost more than the car. I think I rented, so I slept, and then the next day I went to the airport and I traveled to New York.
Uh-huh.
And New York, I was like 14 hours, I think. Also, no new visiting places in New York. A sister, very kind sister, he took me to know some places. Yeah. And then I bought Ansins too, and then I traveled to Lima. So I had, when I took all the cost of the two tickets and the bus, and even one hotel I took to, I have to pay in Kansas City, it was cheaper than the cost of my colleague pastor who traveled directly from Lima to Indianapolis.
That's amazing. And you got to see America doing it.
Yeah.
A lot of America.
It was because the flights with 2K like that are cheaper.
Yeah. So what was your favorite place that you saw?
I think one of the favorite places I enjoyed the most was Orlando.
Orlando, yeah. Orlando's a pretty amazing city.
Yeah, I tried to know Disney World, but I couldn't because I wanted the car.
It's hard to get in there a little bit.
Yeah, I was alone. I didn't know nothing. Yeah. So I was like, imagine that I have to get to a place where it's a Disney World. You can pay your ticket here like that. Yeah. But when I got this, it said Disney World, was there was nothing. There was more highway.
I think so you were in New York, Manhattan, the island of Manhattan. I think Disney World is twice the size of Manhattan. I think it's two Manhattans. It's huge, but it's...
So since I didn't have too much time, I decided not to waste my money, my time.
Yeah.
I only took some picture of a video I was getting Disney World. Well,
you saw the signs.
Like that, and then returned to another place. But in the night, I had a very beautiful sight. There was like a wheel and other things. I know
what you're talking about. Yeah, the big old Ferris wheel. Yeah.
In the night, and I was in the Walmart parking. And
okay, I know what Walmart you're at too. I know that exact Walmart.
I was looking down. I have very good remember. Yeah.
That's close to SeaWorld and Universal Studios, right?
Universal Studios.
Yeah.
No, America is a good place to travel. I think I feel very good, very well when I travel in America. Yeah,
that's good. So, in closing, this is a big question, but what are your hopes for the Church of the Nazarene in the next 5 years, 10 years, or just the church you see in Peru?
Well, I hope that the Church of the Nazarene can continue be diverse.
Yeah.
To have diversity, but faithful to God's word.
Yeah.
Because I think this time there are too much teachings of people or things that are trying to change, perhaps what the Bible says, you know?
Yeah.
So I hope that my church remains faithful to the Bible, no? to the Scripture. In Peru, in the district I'm working, I hope that my district continues growing. Uh-huh. No, we have 40 churches in my district.
Yeah.
What ideas? And we have some churches to organize perhaps this year.
Yeah.
So I'm dreaming with that, or perhaps the next year also. So I hope that my district could get to have 50 churches, and then 100 churches and continue preaching the God's word so people can knew Jesus and change their life and have eternal salvation. No?
Yeah.
And also I expect that the Church of the Nazarene can grow more in Europe.
Yes.
In Europe, I know that in Africa it's growing a lot.
Yeah.
Also in United States and Canada, the Church of the Nazarene can grow again because I have seen the statistics. No,
this is a decline.
So I hope we can have a revival. And to recover the growing. Yeah.
Well, thank you, David.
Great to
get together.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We'll enjoy day two. We better rush over to the rest of these plenary sessions, but it's been good to get together with you on this.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Holiness Today podcast. If you enjoyed this production and wish to hear more, visit holinesstoday.org/podcast or find us on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.